Great, hello everyone, welcome. It's 5 o'clock. I'd like to call to order the select board meeting of Tuesday, April 28th, 2026, and this meeting is being audio recorded, everybody that knows. We will go ahead and review the agenda. We have some minutes and I believe some warrants to sign when we can get to them. We have a 5:30 appointment with Saber Billings, candidate for state representative who's just joined us. We have some general discussion ideas, the town hall, annual town meeting handouts. We're gonna talk about our lease agreement with Hilltown Youth Performance. Hopefully we'll get that signed. We will just get an update on the office assistants and boards clerk positions. Any update that we might have on the Colerain surplus police cruiser. And some new information updates with community hall, highway department, the HVAC, situation over at Sawyer Hall and here at Jacobs Road. I think a follow-up with Tri-Town Landfill mowing. We'll end up with some public comment, mail, and any other new business that we might need to add. Will, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay, Mia?
Three things.
Stop. Okay, what do you got?
Adding, officially just new updates today, the Route 8A culvert / small bridge project easements.
Okay.
JRMC signage and fall special town meeting.
Okay, and fall special town.
Yes.
Okay, so the things that we add to the agenda are things that really can't wait until the next meeting. So I just want to make sure that these are all things that are needing some immediate attention.
The only one that's going to have any discussion is the 8A culvert.
Yep, I know we're kind of in the middle of that, so that's definitely something.
Yeah, and the other two are more, they're not actual discussion ones, so I mean, if you don't want
just quick updates?
Yeah, but okay. Just like a sentence, just okay. So you're aware to keep it in your head as we move forward with ATM stuff.
That's fine, as long as it's not too much of a discussion, I think we're okay for a quick update and keeping things going. So, all right, so we have a little bit of time before our first appointment, so let's get into the minutes of our last meeting, which would be the minutes from April 21st, 2026. Will, did you have any changes?
I did not.
Excellent, and neither did I. So may I have a motion to approve the minutes from Tuesday, April 21st, 2026 as written?
So moved.
I will second that motion. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Will, I.
Elisa, I. It's always a little challenging when there's only two of us. Make sure we check all the boxes. Okay, so approved as written. Okay, great, thank you. Do we want to get into the ATM handouts? Hopefully, I forgot to compare this to the other one that came out. So here's my first concern.
Yes.
It is 7 pages.
That was Robin's concern as well.
So we're not going to have 7 pages.
Well, so yeah. So my idea was talking to Robin back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we remove, I mean, obviously we can't, the budget thing kind of has to stay how it is because I don't see how else you would be able to. I mean, you could put just a line number, but then you'd be asking a lot of people to then look at that line number and then look at their other handout down and say,
yeah,
this line is this much, and I have to go back to this, yeah, it'd be a lot.
Right.
But I think we could remove all of the copied and pasted articles and just say Article 3, this is the comment. I think it's easy enough for people to look back at their warrant handout.
That was going to be my suggestion.
And just keep the budget one.
Let's just do that. Let's take
that
out.
Cut it down like 3 pages.
The other thing is if we change the layout, if we go landscape instead of portrait, that we might be able to fit some of the budget notes on one line.
Yes.
I think if we played with that
That's smart. Oh, and Robin's other suggestion too is to make it look a little less formal. So I had suggested removing the headers.
Exactly. I think it's great to have that this is, you know, warrant.
Yeah, but it doesn't
notes.
Look a lot like the warrant. It looks a little too
official.
This actually looks more official than the warrant.
Yeah, so if you want to trim that up a little bit,
yeah.
And some of the font that's up top can be
that
a little smaller.
Too. That was our other thing, a little smaller, and
is what Robin said?
Possibly changing the fonts to less formal fonts to make it more fun to read. And then next year,
yep.
when we have a color printer, we can make it even more fun.
We can. Think of the fun we can have. So, okay, so it sounds like Robin was kind of thinking the same thing
yes.
I was. Bill, did you have any suggestions looking at this to pare it down? Because we just can't do a 7-page document. Oh,
I think this just was, I just heard, a way to go.
The other thought maybe is doing printing on both sides.
Oh, yeah, we could do that too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Depending on how many pages. I mean, if it ends up being like 2 pages.
I would still do both sides.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
because it's a lot.
Person, one paper.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people. I don't know how many copies you're planning on making.
Right.
But it's just a lot of paper, and I'm a little concerned about that.
Okay, so
let's play with those particular layout changes, Mia, and
yeah.
take a look. I was hoping that I could open it as a Word document and kind of play with it myself, but my computer just wouldn't let me do it. Even though it got sent as a Word document,
yeah,
excuse me, but when I go ahead and download it, it automatically makes it into a PDF. So I wasn't trying to...
I think
to...
it was... Oh, you know what? Because remember when I sent out the budget and...
Yes,
I started changing the permissions every time I send out a link. So everybody I send it to can only...
Which is
it.
Good.
Yeah. But I can send you an editable version.
Excuse me. So, yeah, I don't mean to bounce this back onto your desk, but if you want to implement those suggestions.
No, absolutely. So, landscape, remove the headers, remove the actual copy and paste to articles.
Mm-hmm.
I could change some of the fonts, and what was our other note? Oh, make the title font size smaller.
Yeah.
And
maybe make it double-sided when we print.
That's what it was.
So let's do that. So I'm not quite ready to sign off on this yet, and I certainly don't want to do it without Robin. So if we can wait until next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
assuming her travel plans go as expected.
Mm-hmm.
So one more time with this.
Any of the notes, do we want any of the notes themselves changed? Robin was concerned with the length of the revolving fund one and
yep.
the other one. The
yep.
problem is that I feel like to get the information that we wanted to get across, I don't know how we lower it at all. I mean, no matter what, we're going to be speaking about it on the floor. So
right.
it's kind of up to you guys if you wanted to include all of the information that we had talked about or if we wanted to shorten it and leave some stuff out knowing that we're going to talk about it.
So, and that's... 16, right? Article 16?
That'd be, yeah.
Right?
16. And then the only other two that were a little longer were the overhead doors. The other ones I think are kind of pretty.
Yeah, so let me look at the text of 16 and see if we can nibble this down a little bit.
Okay.
And that will help on space as well. Okay. Any other thoughts?
No, I think you just try those things.
Okay. Mia, any other thoughts?
No.
You sure?
I think.
That's right.
Well, oh, I did find the breakdown of, I went through my recycling bin today and found the technical support town buildings breakdown. A bunch of other fun info for us, but that's separate.
Okay.
That'll be our part of our next meeting where we talk about what we want to say.
Yes, that's where we'll figure that out. All right, where's my worksheet? Okay. So I'm going to look at Article 16 and pare down text. Okay. So we will revisit this one more time, and then she'll be good to go. Thank you for all the work on this, Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Mia. It's great.
I know that was not easy. Froggy in my throat. Okay, so we did that, and we did that. Okay, so as far as Hilltown Youth Performing Arts lease, that has not been handed back to
you
yet.
I just emailed Jonathan, like, hey, you still coming? I mean, he said he was coming at like, I looked back at the email, he said like 2:30. I don't know what he's gonna be doing here at 2:30, and he didn't show up, so.
Okay, so we can't do anything until it actually comes back to us.
Nope.
Right, okay. Office assistant position.
We've scheduled two of the interviews, but we're still working on scheduling. That's really it. I wanted to wait and get, we scheduled the interviews for two of them for next Monday, but it looks like the other one's gonna get pushed out a little bit further, and it does sound like we're getting one more application, so the process is gonna still kind of be ongoing.
Okay.
I did wanna wait for Robin to get back to, I know this keeps getting put on the agenda, but amend those job descriptions. Because we got some suggestions from Jean on the board's clerk one.
And right.
It's gonna end up being a little bit bigger of a discussion.
We'll get to that in a second. So as far as the office assistant, we have two interviews scheduled for Monday. You have one that's gonna be pushed back a little bit more because of what scheduling.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you think you're expecting another.
Yeah.
Applicant? Okay, great. As long as we've got some movement on that, that feels good. Great. Okay, so board's clerk position. We're definitely going to wait until Robin gets back on that, because I think we have some real discussion to do about this particular position. Some things, you know, the position was created a couple years ago. And what we did is we added on to what used to be just the Board of Health clerk position. And when we lost that particular clerk, and then we tried another clerk, if I'm remembering this correctly, it was the Select Board's idea that we wanted to make the position more attractive for someone to apply. We were afraid that we wouldn't get any applicants with just one position for, you know, a few hours a week. So the idea was born to make it an all boards clerk for some nice continuity, flow of information, and so forth. And as it's working out, it's only two boards that are actually utilizing the clerk. So I think what was created is not working in the manner in which we thought it might. So I think we need to have some discussion about perhaps re-envisioning how to move forward the best to support the boards that serve our towns, particularly Board of Health and Planning Board.
I think we need to bring Board of Health back in here and have it as part of our next discussion with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's been some animosity that has grown again somehow in the past week. So.
Well, I think they're feeling very concerned because they have a clerk who's working really well for them, even though that clerk handed in her letter of resignation for other reasons. But this is something that we can, like I said, discuss once Robin gets back and just review what's working, what's not working, and figure out how we can best support the boards that serve our town. That, I think, is our main goal.
All of the letters and emails I got will be in your next week's mail. So.
Yep, understood. So we're gonna table this a little bit. Plus, I don't think we've gotten any applicants for this particular job. Right now it's still posted. I'm going to leave it posted for another week. And when, like I said, when Robin comes back, we can discuss what we're gonna do about it. Will, do you have any comments or thoughts about that at all?
Well, we said about the board's clerk. I think we do really need to discuss that more.
Okay.
Light of them and some of the mail that we got and some of the concerns about it. So yeah, we have to wait.
So as of right now, planning board is functioning without a clerk. How,
right,
with you serving on planning board, how is that going?
Well, I'd rather have a clerk.
Okay.
I really would. I think, you know, what we've been doing is someone, you know, the way it worked before, before we had a board's clerk, you have someone who volunteers to take minutes one day, and one, you know, next meeting someone else does, but the problem is, it's not uniform. Because everyone has different ways of taking minutes.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have continuity and sort of a, so I feel we need one.
Okay.
And also someone who can get things filed in time and do, you know, get all the legwork done. It's really important. So especially when you're talking about town meeting articles and things like that, you know, we kind of blew it this year.
And there's a lot of administrative work that has to be done for special permits and everything the planning board does. That right now is falling on Mary and I.
Yeah, and it's just, that's not right. So we, you know, we definitely need a board's clerk.
It's actually interesting, I did a little sleuthing to look at the duties of a planning board clerk just in general. And yeah, it was educational to see where what all is involved. So that was good information that we can roll into our conversation, which I would like to touch upon next week a little bit, and then we can really get into it after ATM, I think.
And I do believe that if we'd had a board's clerk, this hadn't happened, and the way it all worked out or whatever is neither here nor there, but we would have actually not had to have an SDM later. We would have gotten things in on time, and we didn't.
Yep, I think there's some review that can be done with procedure and what's mandated by the state and what's proper protocol and all of that. So I think there's definitely room for growth and learning, and we're going to figure it out together.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay. Mia, any update about chlorine surplus?
No.
Really?
Really. Did find out, though, that their ATM is Tuesday, I think.
Okay.
So that could be a contributing factor. I thought it was later in my
head. Oh, okay. So they're in meeting crowd. Like, we get that.
We get it.
We understand what that means. Okay. Yeah, we are just like cranking through our.
Well, we did notice that Jonathan must have brought something in.
Yes.
That is right. I saw. So let's bounce back to that. We want to take a peek?
Might as well.
And open that magic envelope. It's in there.
Envelope, please. Envelope.
Let's make sure the pages are in the right order.
Pages are there.
Mm-hmm.
And both Laura and Jonathan signed?
Yep.
Yes.
Fantastic. How are they with rent and BUC stuff?
They are up to date.
Up to date?
Mm-hmm.
Loving it. Okay, so that are two signatures on there, and we'll just need a date on the top of that, Mia.
Yes, absolutely.
Please and thank you. Okay, so we took care of that.
All right. Do you want to make a motion to execute the lease?
Sure, I'll entertain a motion to execute the lease of the Hilltown Performing Arts. Hilltown Youth Performing Arts.
There you go.
It's a 1-year lease.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Of today's date?
The 28th of April.
28th. May I have that motion?
So moved.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Will I.
Wait, did I second it? I second that motion. Any discussion? Dang, I was almost so close.
It's okay. You're doing great.
All right, all those in favor?
Will, aye.
Elisa, aye. Woo, okay. Great. So does Mia's all caught up with her
highlighting
with that color and the other color.
Well, I have
color
different colors for motions and agenda items.
I know, that's
so I don't
great.
Get them confused.
I love it. It's all good. Can you tell me when you're ready?
Oh, I'm good. Mm.
Okay, we are cooking along here. Community hall. Elevator and cupola.
Well, I mean, you guys have seen the threads of the elevator, so recap for anyone listening. The part got fixed in Florida, but before they would give us a price to fix it, so we're a little afraid that the price is going to be a lot of money, and we are not yet sure how we're going to pay for it because we don't know how much money it is. So it's kind of in limbo right now. Tim did send, after my email, another follow-up to the company saying that we really need a price because,
So I'm understanding the $1,200 for someone to make a service call and then take it out and ship it down there?
That's literally it.
Nice work.
So can you imagine what the bill is going to be for the person in Florida to fix the computer part that is no longer made and then mail it back?
Well, you have to figure it's at least $1,200 for someone to come back.
Right. Well, there's $1,200 to get there.
None of that $1,200 included the assessment. I don't know if that was just strictly shipping or...
The invoice literally said.
Oh, really? I didn't know we actually saw it.
Removed part, mailed to Florida. $1,200.
Okay. So we don't know how much was actually for the removal for the labor. So, but I mean, I'm encouraged. We'll find our way through financially on this. Without this working lift, the upper level of community hall was not ADA compliant. So this is important.
But in a way, this does kick the can down the road because if this happens again, are we just throwing good money after bad, or are we going to have to figure out another way around this? That's in the future, obviously, but
that is.
There's a lot of questions.
That is. So
I do have to see if Tim has the upper area blocked off right now. I just thought of that.
So for now, let's wait and see.
Okay.
I'll take it from there.
Excuse me, question.
Yes.
Did Mead say the part is actually fixed?
The part is actually fixed. That is the word that we received, and that is being shipped back to the elevator company. And I'm assuming once they receive it, then Tim will get a phone call about costs and.
What I find out about this is why would they fix it without her okay?
I don't know.
And that seems a little. Well.
I don't know.
I'm not going to use. I can put up. Seems a little gutsy.
Barbara.
Mia, would you clarify, you said you were going to check with Tim to see what was closed off?
Oh, because what? The upper floor isn't, the actual hall in community hall isn't ADA accessible right now, we can't have it open to the public.
But the building's locked anyway, we don't have any event scheduled at this time.
But it can be used for private.
Yes, it can be used for private functions at this time.
Okay,
absolutely.
I just wanted to, I didn't know if she was talking about blocking off the upper level or the upper opening to the elevator shaft.
Oh, no, and I didn't think, it was just a thought, and I didn't know if there was any. It would be more if there were events scheduled, but
there are no public events at this time.
Great.
Thank you
this
for
week.
Clarifying.
At this week.
Okay.
So, more to come on that.
Right.
And the cupola is the word from, what is it, Colerain that has a bucket?
Yes. I believe Nate only got back from vacation, it's a highway super in Colerain, only got back from vacation yesterday, so he still hasn't gotten back to Tyson, but he will be getting back to Tyson. I believe, if I remember right, he sent a quick email to Tyson while he was on vacation saying, hey, got your email, I'll get back to you when I'm back. So, He didn't get it. He hasn't gotten back to him yet.
Does that take us high enough to bucket truck and reach it?
That we don't know yet either, and Tyson doesn't have a rangefinder, so I get to bring Bob's rangefinder from home and figure out how tall Community Hall cupola is.
Cool.
Actually, I have one.
Yeah, or you think of it too.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It goes up to 60 feet, 66 feet.
Perfect.
We have brownies.
All right. Devin. Okay, we still have just a few more moments. How about a highway department salt shed update for the electricity?
I might be able to get through that. They have a definite appointment now. He didn't say when, but they have an appointment.
This week,
he's
right?
Renting. I think it's this week. Or maybe next week. Either way, he's renting the trencher thing, and they're getting that done.
Okay. Great. What do you got about the Taylor Brook Road Bridge?
The insurance company forgot about it.
Or do they now?
Oh, yes. So they've now been told to remember about it. And they are going to call back. Bartlett's doing it. They'll call back with a definite date the next week or so.
So next week they're going to call back with a date?
They next didn't. Week? They said next few weeks generally. It wasn't a... But they said they were calling back with a date, and I would assume it would be pretty quick given that they forgot about it. So,
okay, and so they're calling back to you, or they're calling back to Tyson?
Tyson was the one who called them.
Okay, great. So we'll just mark the calendar for the next couple of weeks out just so we can keep track.
Yes.
And make sure that they don't forget about us again.
Speaking of bridges, I was delighted to see driving over here.
Yeah.
Bridge in 8A, they filled those.
Oh, that's what they were doing for that 30 minutes?
Well, good day.
Yeah.
The front end of my car doesn't disappear anymore.
Right. I was going to go off the new bridge. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Street sweeping? What's up with that, me?
So Tyson, he thinks after all the rain, kind of all the rain we got, he thinks we should be pretty good because they got most of it done. The few spots that were still bad, they've used the blower on because they haven't been near houses. He didn't think we were going to have to rent one, but he would let me know if that changes.
Rent
they're
one
still
what?
Finishing up a little bit. A street sweeper.
Another, you're renting it again?
They didn't rent it.
Well, I thought
yet.
They did.
They were going to reevaluate after the rain came.
Oh.
But then Lively went on vacation, so he's on vacation right now.
Okay.
And Tyson and Boutwell spent the last few days going around with a blower, hitting any of the spots that were still bad. And his opinion as of this morning was that it didn't need it. I haven't driven the roads, all of them, myself. So I don't
okay.
know. But.
Okay, so still assessing if more work needs to be done?
Right.
And the Colerain Stage Road paving, I think we have got dates, we've got funding.
Yep, so May 7th, 8th, 11th, and 12th is going to be the full depth reclaim. So we'll come in with the grinder and grinding all down and everything. And then the 16th, 17th, 18th, they're going to be doing the paving. They're going to try to move that up a few days so it's closer to when they're doing the reclaim. They're not sure yet. Tyson wants to close the road for those days. They think that they can just open one lane, but Tyson and I don't think they realize how narrow it is in some spots. So we don't think they're going to be fitting anybody, especially while paving, by all of the construction, and that saves us the cost of details. And you can still go up Taylor Brook Road on one end. You can go into town a lot of other ways. So
mm-hmm.
Right now, that was his thought, was to close the road, but I wanted to see what you guys thought of it first.
I think if we can, we should.
Yeah. Safety reasons, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's narrow. The only consideration is for emergency vehicles if they're trying to get up of this way, it's gonna slow their response time.
Right, the only problem with that is I don't think that even if they wanted to fit by, they would.
They would be able to.
Maybe a police cruiser. I think that's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll obviously talk more with Tyson about it, and Tyson will talk more with the company. But as of right now, that's what we're looking at. He should be getting a little bit more definite paving dates, and then I'll do, if it doesn't end up being a closure, I'll do the code reds for that.
Okay.
So everybody's aware of it's the main route in and out of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Alrighty. Very good. Well, that rolls us right into our appointments.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So this is my first official meeting with an actual select board. I've met with a couple town administrators. So
mm-hmm.
So this is my first time, and I don't know if there's any type of established process here for giving my first set of introductions, or if we could kind of just, or we just want to jump into sort of, you know, what Heath's ideal relationship looks like with a state representative, maybe some of the history of what's worked well for you guys, and, you know, I could share my baseline sort of understanding and perception in terms of like the core buckets of state funding. So other funding in Chapter 70 and the pilot, which I assume is pretty meaningful for you guys. And
top,
you know,
of the list.
For sure. Yeah, so I think you guys are maybe in the top third in terms of percentage of state owned land. So I know that's very significant for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you want me to just kind of jump into that and just.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I introduced everybody to
sure.
you,
yep.
newest person that walked in is Devin Clark.
Hi, Devin. Oh, hi, how are you? My husband was like, I bet you'll see Devin there. My husband knows.
Just speak up because when she records it and then I listen to it at home, it's on different people sometimes.
Okay.
It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So my name is Sabra Billings. I am a ninth generation Franklin County resident, although, in, you know, full disclosure, I feel like I sort of entered this race being fairly ignorant about some of the dynamics of the hill towns in the district, even given my huge history.
Mm.
In general in the area, and I've really gained a huge increased appreciation and perspective for what, you know, I believe that our rural communities are contributing to the state, and I don't just mean, you know, the pilot program or payment in lieu of taxes. I think it really expands beyond that, and I have a lot of interesting ideas brewing, but I am a relative, I think maybe the last official person to throw their name into the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a little bit behind the eight ball in some of that stuff. And I don't have a background in politics or even like municipal administration. I do have 30 years of experience in a pretty broad range of operations management, supply chain, commercialization, project management that I feel is really transferable. A lot of the work that I've done has required me to basically bring people together, often with really conflicting priorities, and figure out how to get things done. I did spend a couple of years directing food operations at the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, and also a couple of years on the board of directors for Just Roots. So you guys might know Jessica Van.
I was
going to
say, that must have worked with Jess. So.
I did work with Jess. Yeah, I just reconnected with her recently.
Great.
We're trying to reconnect. So, you know, so that being said, I clearly understand Chapter 70, UGA funding, and both of those things have a lot of, there's a lot of movement around re-looking at the formulas for those buckets of funding. In terms of Chapter 70 and school funding, I'm a huge advocate of rural aid. I was incredibly disappointed, so I'm still learning. I've learned so much just about the legislative process in the last month as well. So, was really watching what was happening in the House with rural aid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, given the fact that the legislature itself determined $60 million was what was needed 4 years ago now, and they never even funded even that at even a third.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what I was watching yesterday, because they're doing budget deliberations, and I'm waiting for them, these amendments to come up, because, you know, the governor came in at 20, which is a third. The House Ways and Means cut it down to 10. I think this year it was 14. And, you know, there was two amendments. One of them was to bring it back to 14, which would be level funding to last year, still woefully inadequate. Mm-hmm. And then there was one for full funding. So, you know, what I learned was that the legislature has this process where they bundle up mm-hmm. amendments. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like something like close to 100 different amendments that got bundled all together, re-amended collectively, and voted on all at once. So there was not even an opportunity for legislators to advocate for rural school funding. They basically had to yay or nay on this massive amount of amendments. So there's a lot of what I've been learning has been really disheartening to me and frustrating for me. However, that being said, I'm a huge advocate of that rural aid. I mean, it's very frustrating. I know a lot of people have been doing advocacy, but that would make a really significant difference for our communities. It's shocking to me how many towns are having to throw out override proposals to their communities, and it's really heartbreaking. And I can't imagine being in you guys' position and have to try to balance, you know, wanting to have quality education for your children with like people's struggles to afford their property taxes. So that's really challenging. I also understand that the pilot program is they're putting a commission together to relook at the pilot program. It's clearly, you know, from our perspective, not fair in terms of the way that they're valuing and compensating municipalities for the loss of potential tax revenue. So that's kind of like, so where I'm coming in, those things are all really, really important to me. I also sort of, I have this kind of idea brewing, or I would say this belief brewing that I'm working on articulating in terms of having the state not only recognize, the land, the loss of value in terms of taxes with the pilot program, but also just the larger role that this part of the state plays in terms of the whole big climate equation, and also relatively large shares of hosting certain infrastructure and that type of thing that I'm just sort of starting to get into. So that all being said, a lot of that stuff applies to most of the communities in the Franklin First District. So I'm really curious to learn, like from Heath's perspective, what your unique perspective might be on any of those programs, and also just in general, frustrations that you might have or your hopes and dreams in terms of potential state funding, struggles that you guys might have specifically that are unique to Heath. And any other insight or information that you'd like to share.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'll open it up to the folks that have joined us for this. I don't know, Devin? What you got, girl?
I'm glad you mentioned pilot, because that was something I was gonna say. Yeah. We're the third in the state for state-owned land.
Well, no, I think I'm in terms of the, I know in terms of the county, I think you guys are in the top third. I haven't really narrowed that, but like, you guys have a relatively large share of your total land area that is state-owned and or like preserved from development.
Yeah.
And so proportionally, that mm-hmm. must be really significant for you. And I understand the way that the formulations are, way that the formulas work.
We're not getting our fair share.
No, not at all. Yeah.
So I was gonna mention
for sure. Yeah.
And then I know like transportation for the kids is stinky too.
Right.
You know.
So there is also a bill that's in process, and it's stalled right now, largely because the district has zero representation in the House right now, and it's a joint bill that was sponsored with the prior representative Natalie and also Joe Comerford.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my understanding from, I have also spoken with one of the members of Rural Schools Mass, the nonprofit that has been doing a lot of advocacy for several years on this issue. Without having a champion for it in the House, it's not likely to, nothing's much is likely to happen for a while, so that's pretty disappointing. But there are provisions in that bill, I can't remember the name of the bill, but there are provisions in that bill that would address transportation, specifically for rural areas.
I know we never get the amount we're supposed to get, just like right. what you were saying.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. So my understanding is they are putting a commission together to look at pilot, which is good, and also, you know, personally, you know, based on, again, this crash course that I've had in the legislative process in the last month is also a little bit frustrating, right? So after, it was after a significant amount of advocacy that the legislature said, okay, let's do a commission for rural school aid, right? So they established that commission in 2019. That commission did a very well, very substantial, very comprehensive report that was published in 2022 that said rural schools need $60 million. Mm-hmm. And that was 4 years ago, and there's been a lot of inflation since then, right? So that's like, at this point, I would consider that like bare bones minimum, right? 4 years ago, and they've never even funded a third of it. So the fact that they're doing a commission on pilot, it's good in a way, but I also, it also, you know, it feels frustrating. I try to be open-minded about it all, but you know, so that's in process. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm you know, still working to understand are, you know, what opportunities there might be for somebody coming in to bolster that process, or are there other angles that could be, or other levers that could be pulled to either increase, you know, raise the priority of that, or something parallel that could also drive something to happen maybe in the shorter term. When it comes to pilot, I'm not sure, but I absolutely understand that it's unfair the way that it's happening. And, you know, would be certainly committed to figuring out, you know, what possibly can be done to sort of expedite a change in that process and improve the results that are happening for rural towns. So, yeah.
I think from a regional standpoint, especially when you talk about climate change and things like that, is, you know, with Midwest and the far west, water issues with us, and what agricultural regions we have here become even more important.
Critical, for sure.
I mean,
yep.
They're going to be vital.
Yep, I believe that completely. It's like I said, I have, you know, just with what I've learned in the last like 4 weeks, in terms of just like not just now, but looking at the history and, you know, really just like I feel like resources that these communities have given that have benefited the whole state for generations, really, and, you know, lack of compensation, and, you know, some of the policy that I'm seeing being put in place, including climate policy, I feel like, you know, rural areas are being left out of some of those incentives and those type of things. So I think that there is an opportunity for some legislation that would essentially correct that, that would be really well aligned with climate goals, really just like a correction and a recognition of how important, you know, our natural areas, our land, our forests, our agriculture are to the whole big picture. So I've been doing some work on really drafting some legislation around that I'm really excited about, but I'm early in the process. So that's a big deal. You know, one of the other things that I'm just starting to dive into, you know, is the affordable housing issue. And, you know, there's a lot of tie-ins also with climate goals and energy codes. And I'm actually, in my spare time, when my husband and I built a house in 2010 to 2011, and I was the acting general contractor. I was the pretend general contractor because I didn't really know what I was doing. I was winging it. You know, so we went through that process. We did a lot of the work ourselves. Last year, we decided we were going to build an ADU. So I'm like, oh, I've done this before, and this is a way smaller project, so it's going to be easy as pie. Mm-hmm. And it's been shocking to me to understand how much more challenging it is with the energy codes. And I'm not against the energy codes per se, but it's really hard for me when I look at the whole big picture of energy usage. And there are things happening, like data centers, that are driving up the requirement for energy. And when housing is such a crisis, I mean, people cannot afford to live. Home ownership has been declining. This is the first generation, I think, in America, I think I read, that is worse off than their parents. And so I feel like there needs to be some maybe compromise. So in terms of, I don't know how much you know about the process, but this is things that I've learned, like, you know, the very, very hard way going through this process is the requirement for what's called a HRSA rating to happen. And it's like, you know, more than a couple $1,000 just for that, just to hire the person to come and do this work. Materials and the process are also more expensive. And when you look at the average house in Massachusetts, those fixed costs maybe aren't a huge percentage of the total, but when you're looking at a smaller home, like, or an ADU, it's a much larger share. So one of the things that I've been thinking about is revising the code or having an allowance for maybe pre-designed buildings, you know, or houses under a certain square footage. You know, where there's evidence that if you build it to these specifications, it would pass the HERS rating, right? So like creating some type of a program where you wouldn't necessarily need the HERS rater, that expense of the HERS rater or other things. We would just say the risk is lower, it's a smaller home, it's gonna have a smaller energy footprint regardless because of its size, the risk is lower. Can we do something like have some pre-designed homes or specific criteria where we can kind of bypass that with like a science-backed, you know, science-informed, you know, risk assessment in terms of if we do it this way, the results are likely to have passed the HERS requirement and bypass that. So looking at things like that, because, you know, I have kids who are in their 20s, well, they range from 18 to 28, and it's really hard. I mean, I know looking back at history, like when my husband and I built our first house, we got really lucky in terms of the interest rate, right? It was like kind of historic lows for this period of time, but the difference in interest on just the house that I built in 2010, if I built that same house today at today's interest rates, and it's not a mansion by any means. It's like almost $700 a month just in the interest difference, right? And so, you know, so and when you look at the base, the pricing of homes, it's painful, and it feels even like, I don't want to be dramatic, but it feels a little bit scary for me for this generation and the huge difference that home ownership makes for, you know, for a person over the course of their lifetime. So so just really kind of pushing and challenging in meaningful ways at housing affordability. Also, you know, I feel like one of the things that I learned about initiatives for housing affordability at the state level are, I feel like existing housing, maintenance of existing housing. I know that there's a few programs in there that are helping people like improve the energy efficiency of their home, but when you compare them to like new development, it feels like aging homes is a huge opportunity, right? There's a lot of houses out here in the rural hill towns that would qualify as affordable housing because the mortgage is paid off or partially paid off. It's an asset that maybe people could pass on to their family, but because of the economics right now, that people are not able to afford to maintain their homes. And this area has some of the largest share of aging housing stock in the whole state. And so I feel like there's a huge missed opportunity there for diverting some of the funding that's being allocated to new development, or a little bit more of the share that's being used for new development to help people maintain these older homes, upgrade their energy efficiency and maintain them. So, you know, even if they may not end up exactly as efficient as a brand new unit would be, when you look at the whole big picture and the energy that's already invested in some of these old buildings, you know, over the lifetime, that it's really, it would be a really worthwhile initiative. So,
I like old houses. And
yeah.
My father-in-law was a builder.
Right.
He's in the 70s, he's retired now, but it was like, why are people fixing up those old houses? Yeah. He said it costs too much. You can build a brand new and it's cheaper.
Right.
And that's not talking about the energy efficiency part of it. And it's just like, that's not right. You know, there should
be. And I don't know if that's 100% true right now. I think it's very case by case. I think at one point it was, but like with the economics right now, I think that it's, I think there's more opportunity now than there had been at one point in time, just because the cost of to build new has really skyrocketed, right? And so I think there's more, I'm sure it varies case by case, but that's, I can't tell you. I've been in, just finishing up today was the last day for submitting signatures for the nomination form, and I've been in so many beautiful old town buildings in the past week and a half. And I'm like in these buildings and I'm looking at them and I'm, you know, it's just, And a lot of them, like I was talking to the town clerk in Leverett, you know, she was saying that they recognize how fortunate they were that they've had resources to maintain that building. But there are so many beautiful homes in the Hill Towns that have potential, I think, to be restored. That I think when you really dug into all aspects of, you know, the whole energy and the carbon footprint and all of that, that you would see that they would, you know, that it was worthwhile to invest in saving some of those. And sometimes it feels like if we don't, we're losing housing stock, right? So we're adding stock over here, often at a very significant taxpayer funded per unit expense, while we're losing houses on this end, on the tail end. And so, you know, I still have a lot to learn about that process and more digging in to do, but I feel like there's some opportunity there for sure.
Barbara, anything? Okay. Pat?
Can I ask, are you guys part of FERCOG?
Yes.
You are. Yeah. Do you have grant writing services through FERCOG, or do you grant writing yourself, or is it a combination?
We never have enough.
Is it a big opportunity? Is it a, it's an opportunity?
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
There are some FERCOG grants that we benefit from, but we also do the townspeople write their own.
They tend to leave it open to, like, if you want help writing a grant, reach out to us. If we have time, we'll happily.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Time.
Right. Yeah. So that is an opportunity. And I, in general, I think, you know, rural communities are, you know, kind of tax-based poor, and often are finding are kind of lacking resources when it comes to grant writing. And so that's another reason. That's an indirect reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indirect way that I think our rural communities are kind of getting left behind, right? So like, they're not excluded from these grants, but they just don't have the resources to apply. So the effect is the same as if they, you know, weren't even eligible. So I see that as an opportunity as well.
Excuse me,
Sarah,
can you speak up?
Oh, sure, I'm sorry. Yeah, and I'll turn towards you also. Did you want me to kind of repeat that, or
no,
just
no.
Moving forward, okay. Use my outside voice a little bit. Yeah, so can I ask about, like, you know, what your history has been in terms of working with your state rep? What has worked well, or what would you consider to kind of be ideal in terms of, you know, building a relationship with your state rep?
So, well, Natalie visited us at least once a year.
Okay.
She was great and showed up at some of our larger community events. She's usually here for Heath Fair.
Nice.
Which is wonderful for her to see the agricultural preservation. When we had our 150th celebration of our community hall, Natalie and Jim was here.
Nice.
For that, which was really nice to have their support. So just knowing that she was reachable if we had questions or needs,
mm-hmm.
that we could call and say, hey, put this on your list.
Yeah.
So I felt that she was accessible to us. So that was helpful.
Okay.
I know one specific thing that, again, she was relieved because it didn't involve money, but we had a fire, a forestry truck that we recently acquired from Drakett. And break it mass.
Yeah.
And they sold it to us.
Okay.
And the problem was getting it registered, because it's owned by the fire association and leased to the town for $1. That way we have control over the vehicle when we dispose of it.
Okay.
And there was a wrinkle in getting it registered. And she just immediately said, well, I know someone over at DMV, you know, at R&B, and called, and, you know, our fire chief had gone on to Springfield, but we got it straightened out.
Good. Yeah.
So that she was a big help.
Yeah.
That.
Okay.
I guess you'd call it constituent services.
Right.
But
yeah, both. That's good. That's accessibility. Yeah.
So.
The other thing that Natalie did, she was really great about bringing people out this way.
Okay.
Because they just don't know that Western Mass exists,
mm-hmm.
or they might have an image of what it is, but you don't know it until you're here.
Yeah.
And so she really was an advocate for saying, get in the car, we're going out into the Hill Towns. And she did. She brought people out and showed off the agricultural aspect. I think she visited some schools. I think she was here for one of the major school events to show them what it is that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And they struggles that we have, mostly within our school system and the transportation that Devin mentioned, and our farmers really needing a lot of support, that with the climate changes, you know, it's been really hard.
Right.
So she was a really great advocate on that level.
Good. That's
yeah.
good. That's good. Yeah. yeah, and you guys, the school districts out here, right, is probably the most challenging mm-hmm. in terms of the Franklin First District, right? Because you are already, when you think about like regionalizing, like how much more can you regionalize, and like there's already. You know, kids are on the bus already for such long periods of time and that type of thing. So I actually have a meeting with the superintendent, I think, tomorrow, which is my second superintendent. I had a really good conversation with Pioneer, but just sort of looking at the logistics of the two systems. Like, Mohawk seems to be so much more challenging from that perspective. And I do have a logistics background, so I've been doing some research on, you know, other places in the country even that, you know, have maybe had some success stories and mm-hmm. how those type of things might be able to be replicated. And but yeah, this is a really challenging school district in a declining population to deal with, it because it's already so far flung.
I think you put your finger on a declining population. We need to reverse it.
Right. Right, and so that's another area where, like, you know, yeah, so like the way that the formulas work, I think, for like funding and grants and those type of thing that are, you know, housing development, right? I don't know, I don't have a super deep understanding of everything that's out there right now, but my general understanding is, you know, larger communities are favored, and I know that they have gateway cities that are clearly, you know, outwardly favored in terms of development. And so, in just one more area where rural areas, I think, are getting left behind. The population growth is a really tricky thing because the population is declining. The birth rate in this country is declining. And so, you know, one of the things that I spend a lot of time thinking about is everybody's competing over an increasingly shrinking population of people and children, young people especially. And so, you know, but that's a hard position. And so, like, in addition to not saying that people shouldn't be pursuing growth, but no, everybody's not going to win that game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so like, what are the things that communities can do to build their resilience, to sort of play defense, you know, some defense as well as offense, right? So like, if the people don't come through, if the kids don't come through, you know, especially if we can't figure out how to reverse some of the policy that's favoring, you know, more urban areas and that favor density and those type of things, you know, what could rural communities do to sort of play defense and become more resilient, you know, if the people don't come, you know, and if the...
I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you been following the machinations of the East-West Rail?
I don't have a lot of information on that.
That's a very big deal for economic growth.
Yeah.
You know that there were two proposals being considered. One is the southern leg, which goes through Springfield
mm-hmm.
and Palmer and
right.
Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And then the other one was right up the Mohawk Valley on Route 2, parallel Route 2
mm-hmm.
in North Adams.
Right.
And, you know, what that might involve. Because
yeah.
it used to be passenger service up until
right.
like the
yeah.
1950s.
Right. So when you look at funding, when you look at state funding, you know, for transportation in general, another area, there's huge, huge discrepancies in terms of, and the rationale, I think, for that is the whole density factor, right? So they can, you know, if there's a lot of people living in one spot, it's much more cost effective to move them around that way. And
mm-hmm.
so that's a challenge, but it's, again, like, solving for those type of issues, like, we're never going to be able to compete with the density of the eastern part of the state, or even, you know, like, you know, the southeastern, even the southwestern part of the state. However, I don't think that's the right way to look at it, or that everything is not being factored in terms of, you know, again, value and contributions that I feel like this area are making that benefit the whole state, right? So a small example of kind of what I've been thinking about is there was just some success that Joe Comerford had with getting increased funding for the communities of the Quabbin, for their stewardship of the reservoir that's providing water to the eastern part of the state, right? And so, so there are, I think, other things that, you know, that the communities in this district are facilitating or stewarding, living with in some cases, right? So like there's a lot of undesirable type of things that tend to end up in a rural community just because that benefit other people in the state, even things like quarries and, you know, probably a higher percentage, like when you look at it per capita, like the dump, where does the trash go and all of this stuff, that value that's not being captured and not being compensated for. And so I think calling attention to that in a way that ties it to things that are important at the state level right now, like climate change, you know, looking at really like things like this net carbon contribution, you know, where communities in our part of the state would look really favorable, you know, and using that as leverage to help compensate for some of, you know, the ways that we might be more expensive. I guess this is some oversimplification, but.
Good idea.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's great. So I appreciate your time very much. And yeah, I hope that we'll be in touch again at some point.
Yeah.
It's great that you came out. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, it's a beautiful drive.
To come do that. Yeah. For us, so that's very much appreciated.
Yeah. It's a beautiful drive.
Good.
I can't tell you how I've been on roads that I've never been on in my life. How many roads I haven't been on, and you know, beautiful areas, and it's like that's another one of the value, you know, one of those pieces of value that we have, right? So we provide this, you know, recreational, these recreational opportunities, beautiful scenic spots for the whole rest of the state, and so.
I tell you, I go out every morning, and I realize I wouldn't want to live in.
Right, isn't that lucky? I love to travel. I haven't been traveling as much lately, but like from the time I was 40, you know, for like 6 or 7 years, I was traveling every year, and I loved every minute of it. I couldn't afford to travel when I was younger. But like no matter how amazing my vacation was, it always felt good to come home, and that I always would have this really significant feeling of, being grateful, you know, that we live in such a special place, you know. So it's really nice to be able to feel good coming home when you just left like maybe a tropical paradise or something like that. So we're very lucky. All right, well, thanks again. You guys, it's very nice to meet you all.
Yeah,
good night, and hopefully we'll be in touch.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Yes, good luck in your
Tell Jason I say hi.
Great.
There's the mark in the sand for the other guys or the other people that are competing. I don't even know who they are for her position.
There are four other people running for this position for this open seat. So see if we hear from them too or not.
So I remember a comment on this that right when Natalie resigned, I kind of blew a gasket.
You sure did.
And I called around, and I actually got through to the Speaker of the House.
I forgot about that.
I had to pull the nuclear option, but he got back to me.
Yeah.
And he told me at the time, and I still have his message, they left my phone at 10 at night. He said, well, we're not going to, because I asked him about a special election, because here we are.
A huge gap.
Yeah, right, no representation
on
the bill.
And he said that they deemed that it would be too expensive to run a special election and print all the ballots, so they just leaving it open until then. And I just thought, well, that really doesn't help us, does it?
Right.
And he told me, well, her assistant will take care of everything and make sure all the bills are passed. So obviously that doesn't happen.
I was
not real happy with that. And I had to explain to him where he was, and you know, we don't have traffic lights. And I talked to him for like an hour. I don't know why I had so much time, but I bet it was here.
That was really great that you did that.
So.
There was a rural aid bill that Natalie was spearheading, and that's just been abandoned. But anyway, we'll see what comes in November and see what kind of progress can be made. So, okay, well, that was great. Devin, are you hanging out or do we need to make our exchange?
No, I'll hang out.
Okay, because we've cranked through a lot of good
stuff
here.
Have a brownie.
Make yourself at home.
And made them. And there's nothing in them except.
So, actually, I did have a question about before she was speaking. You were talking about, was it Coleraine Stage Road paving?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So, and if they close the road, obviously that means to through traffic, but the people that live there, they can...
Right.
And like this, like where are they paving from starting to ending?
From the town line to Bray Road.
Up to the fairgrounds.
There is going
to
be a gap.
Because I know the school, obviously the school bus usually goes down that hill and then I think Swamp Road.
Right, we'd be in contact with the
yeah.
Asbestos and everything.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But Pat should be able to get to her home.
She'll go off-road and
she'll
be
right.
On my bicycle.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The base section I worry about is right at the Coleraine line where it's so narrow there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the hill, and there's that spot where there's two trees on either side of the road. You've got about one car's width,
mm-hmm.
and you can't see over the hill.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like there's no way you can not close some sections of it at least.
That part
yeah.
in particular.
Probably right.
Like, maybe if they were paving the upper half, if there was like a couple days, you could probably do one lane, but then you got to pay the detail. And that's very
mm-hmm.
pricey. So.
And detail would be paid for through Chapter 90.
It was not included in,
the
submission. And it's $70 an hour for however many days.
Okay. So, okay, working down to our agenda list. I think we finished everything with the highway department.
Yes.
HVAC at Sawyer Hall and here.
Not really any updates. More clarification on what we're waiting on at Sawyer Hall,
mm-hmm.
I guess. The whole project, white heating, it's more than they can do themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some, I don't know what the name of the company is, but a company that they work with on bigger projects. They're waiting to hear from the bigger company about
right.
their thoughts on the situation.
Is that
and then they'll get back to
is
us.
Is that who FW Web is? Are they the bigger company?
Maybe.
Okay. Right, so they were going to come up with a plan
yes.
for a different relay system design.
Yes.
Yeah, FW Web is actually like a plumbing supplier.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
so
it is them.
I was just looking at Tim's email. So, okay, so more to come on Sawyer Hall. And what about here? I guess
It's been working. Hasn't stopped working. Everything's going to get shut down in a couple weeks, Tim said, anyways.
Right, okay.
So, we'll see if it works when we go to turn it back on again in the fall.
Okay.
But for now, it's working.
Tri-Town Landfill, where are we with the clearing of the vegetation, the invasive species eradication?
So, the appointment I had to get a quote last week, the contractor canceled and has yet to reschedule. So, we still have one quote for the mowing. He canceled saying that he wanted to reschedule, but hasn't gotten back to me. It's been a good bit now, so I don't know if he will. So, we still only have one quote for the mowing. I have it set up to do a walkthrough with just an invasive species contract. He wouldn't do any mowing or anything tomorrow afternoon. I was also informed that DEP is doing a inspection tomorrow morning.
Of the landfill?
Yep. So we'll see what comes of that. We will need to submit an RDA to the CONCOM for some of the invasive species stuff because the patch of Japanese knotweed on the kind of back more towards, I mean, it's all right on the Charlemont line, but this side that's closer to Charlemont is within 200 feet of the river that goes through the brook, I guess, that goes through there. So I'll handle that when we come to it. The contractor I'm doing a walk around with tomorrow does also have background in like wetlands consulting and stuff, so he had also said that he'd be willing to help out with that, obviously at a fee, so we'd see. But
okay.
So we'll have the inspection, getting that. I did reach out to a third invasive species contractor and he hasn't gotten back to me yet. So we'll see. I hope to get a quote tomorrow. from this guy, and then we at least have one mowing and one invasive species management quote.
Okay.
So we know that we can get done what needs to be done, even if we don't have more than one quote.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of where we're stuck at the current moment.
Okay, well, not stuck, but things are happening.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Happening.
All right. Very nice. Do we want to go into, well, let's go into public comment before we talk about the additional items that we have. Do we have any public comments this evening? Barbara.
I have an unhappiness to report.
Alrighty.
Related to the road cleanup
uh-huh.
of the sand.
Oh, okay.
So Mia mentioned that that blower was not used any place where there were houses.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell you it was used in front of our houses.
Okay. So then I got a bad understanding of what was happening from Tyson.
And I can tell you that all of the windows that we spent a lot of time getting clean this spring were totally coated in dust and sand, and that heavy gravel, you know, some of what they're what they put down was not just fine sand, it was a mix.
Mm-hmm.
That was being thrown easily 20 feet off the road into the lawns and the gardens. And there was a plume of dust, of sand dust, you know, orange dust,
yeah.
that I swear to God was going at least 50 to 100 yards off the road, covering coating everything. And then they made two passes, and there's still it still hasn't corrected, you know, the safety issue on the road
mm-hmm.
in a lot of places. So I understand that there have been challenges this winter, both in terms of maintaining safe roads under challenging conditions of ice and snow and freezing, and there's been budget concerns, and there have been equipment issues. I know there's been a lot of challenges, but my request is, and I'm not looking to string anyone up, but my request is that we have a better plan for next year, whether it's in terms of what is used or how it's used and how it's cleaned up. Because when the decision was made, and I remember sitting at the meeting, when the decision was made to use this material, Tyson's comment was, this is what we want to do, it's so much more affordable. It's so much more affordable that even if we have to pay to have a street cleaning service come in and clean this up, we will still be ahead. I mean, I remember that. Well, we're way over budget, plus we didn't have a proper street cleaning service, and the techniques that were used, at least in the areas where homes are. But I would even argue, you know, our field, at least 20 feet into our field, is now just covered with what used to be on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep doing that year after year after year, you're really ruining people's soil in their fields. So I think that the blowing is not really sustainable as an annual remedy to pouring a lot of sand on the roads. And that's my public comment. So a better plan, please, next year.
So we should share some of this information back with Tyson.
Yep. Yeah,
are you talking to him?
I can discuss it.
Okay.
With Tyson.
Yeah, share.
And I understand some of these things were out of people's control.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, which is why I'm not looking to, you know, string anybody up. It's
mm-hmm.
more, could we just plan differently for next year, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely.
This is good feedback to have.
Thank you.
Do things.
I mean, maybe the way we could do it is certain roads where it's really problematic. I mean, number 9 road, we don't worry about it all, fine. But steep roads, areas where they use a lot of product, we would just automatically schedule and plan to bring the sweeper. And if it's a light year, we can cancel it.
I think that's what was supposed to happen in the COP.
Yeah, well, maybe we just need to do that by default. Line someone up.
If we're gonna use sand.
If we're gonna continue.
Yeah. And, but then there's always the, you know, the battle between sand and salt. And
yep.
If you use salt, you're gonna get people complaining about the cars rusting out. Mm-hmm. You use sand, well, then you have other problems. I mean, and also salt, when runoff can be a problem. It can kill things, so.
I understand. The first couple of years that we were here, they were using an odd, almost like a molasses-y
yes.
pre-treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's pros and cons for all of these things. I just, this last 2 years have not been good, and this year's been really bad
okay.
for us.
Yeah, I'll talk to Tyson.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Is that
okay? Maybe you'll need to hire the sweeper.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I've seen
I don't know
them.
Where the blower thing kind of out of left field. They weren't going to do that, and they all of a sudden did. So.
Yeah, and I think it also had to do with the fact that we did have a broom that was pretty decrepit, and they tried it, and the
it died.
Died, and they can't get parts for it.
Yeah.
So. And then the blower came out as kind of an alternative.
Right.
To do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's how that happened, and for better or for worse.
Right.
But I know that certainly in Roe, and I think I've even seen them in Coleraine, I've actually seen a real, like a Wayne street sweeper that was hired. It's like you see in a city, you know, self-propelled things with a cab, and it just, and then you have a dump truck that usually follows it. And you empty into the dump truck
yeah.
and get rid of it. So maybe we can do something like that. But again, it's all money too.
Yeah, well,
so.
And I know we're not living in the suburbs or the
no,
city, and I don't expect this.
Not.
I don't expect the same kind of cleanup, but this was by far the worst in 7 years that we've experienced in terms of its impact on us. So I know it can be better.
Yeah.
I know it can be. Because we've had other bad winters. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. Okay. Any other public comments? No?
Well,
Devin, what do you got?
Well, looking at the agenda, you guys must have blown through it all before I got here.
Yeah.
You talked about the police cruiser, surplus police
mm-hmm.
cruiser.
We did.
Okay, what was the thing with the light bar? Like the huge
oh.
cost? Like, what is that?
It's well, it's not. Just the light bar, there's other things in there for consoles. And I mean, I looked for that quote, but I agree, it is kind of out of control. The
yeah.
light bar itself is like $900, but that's just the
right,
light bar.
Right, right, and then it has to be installed, I understand
installed.
That, but
and
well, what, the quote was like $6,000 or something?
It was almost
six grand.
Isn't the cost of the vehicle like $8,000 or 75? I mean, that's, I have to tell you, no, just because of that, but I think you may have already voted on whatever, but I'll have to listen to
no,
the court.
No, we haven't.
Oh, you did it. Oh,
no,
okay.
No, we're
okay.
still waiting for, I think, more information
oh, okay.
and clarification,
yeah.
and because they, surmising that because they are in the midst of meeting prep for their ATM, which is this
right.
week. I just think they're,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And also when Nick and I test drove it, I did.
I heard,
picked
yeah.
up in a wheel bearing
okay,
and some
yeah.
things that
yeah.
need to be addressed.
Yeah.
So.
And $2,850 plus all the other little miscellaneous things, so probably $3,500 of it is labor and radio installation along with installing fuses and all of the necessary stuff from like a power standpoint with the batteries and everything to power everything that needs to go into it. So a really good piece of it is that.
Okay. Like the walkie-talkies or the whatever that.
Well, they,
yeah.
Yeah, we have to move
yeah.
the radios from his old car over and he's got like, I think either two or three radios.
Two.
Has,
okay.
Two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just sounded crazy to spend that the same amount of money on that part of it as the vehicle.
I gotta admit, I like
it's expensive.
That you send your son's log tractors with little lights. I thought that was great.
It was really funny.
was really funny.
I laughed when I saw that.
And then I found we have a red one with batteries, or I mean, magnets, so you could just put on top of the roof, and there's your red lights.
I mean, you weren't wrong price rise. You were right. The light bar itself is only $900.
Right.
Yeah. So it's the wiring, the brackets,
it's just
the wiring harnesses.
More complicated than it
yeah.
Gets it.
But that my public comment is no.
Mark one no for Devin.
Well, send the car over and have your sons do this.
Okay.
Yeah, there
yes.
We go.
Yes.
Too funny.
It was funny. It made me smile when I got it.
All right, anything else for public comment this evening? All right. Rolling into, do we want to do the extra items first, or do we want to go into mail, or what do we want to do? Let's do the extra items.
Yeah.
Because once I get into mail, then my brain starts to shut down. let's stay sharp, people. Okay, so Mia, Route 8A easement. We have so I know a lot of information's been going back and forth about what's happening.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
So
a lot.
Why don't you just fill everybody in?
So the engineers, this is an over because I don't think we've discussed this since a lot of this has happened. So the engineers initially, when our council said we need a meets and bounds plan, which is the one that I was talking about before, that kind of looks like a deed, mimics it in the sense of it's like this many degrees north from this point or whatever. In order to define those easements properly, we need that. We had a discussion with council and the engineers because the surveyors that are hired by the engineers, well, I guess backtrack. When we first said we want the meets and bounds plan, the engineering company was totally fine with that. They're like, oh yeah, that's like standard practice, that's happening, that's fine, whatever, but we'll start working on that. Then the surveyors got involved and they said, never mind, we don't want to do that anymore, we want to do an exhibit plan. Your road was laid out in like the late 1800s and we don't have any definite landmarks to base anything off of. So if we were to do a meets and bounds plan, we'd have to go pretty far down the road to get a landmark. How true this is, I don't know. So it would be a lot of work. We don't think it's necessary. Here's this exhibit plan. Now this exhibit plan was, they based all of the measurements off of the culvert's head walls. What I couldn't understand, what council couldn't understand, was if you have go 56 feet this way, at what angle? Because if it's 56 feet way out here, then you have to connect that back this way. That's a lot bigger of an easement than 56 feet this way, like that. So we were confused. We're like, this doesn't make any sense. We've been back and forth for a while. Council ended up consulting some of their own surveyors that they happen to know and ended up saying that we're not doing an exhibit plan. We need the meets and bounds plan. You guys got to figure it out. The engineering company said, we're not figuring it out, we're not doing it, and now they're in this big argument. So, basically, we're at a point where the engineering company has told us that creating the meets and bounds plan is going to cost $10,000 to $20,000, and that while they could apply for a contract amendment to MassDOT to have the funding for the meets and bounds plan given to us as part of this grant, they do not want to because that puts additional requirements on the meets and bounds plan and may involve redefining our right-of-way and installing new landmarks to base these measurements off of, and that it's an extremely complicated, time-consuming, and insane process they don't want to do. Our council doesn't believe a word of that. So I've been going back and forth with DOT and have made it to the head bridge engineer, and I'm waiting to hear back from him. I don't really know what's going on. I know that we don't have $10,000 to $20,000 to just throw at that, and I also don't see why that wouldn't be funded by the grant itself in the first place.
Because it was funded in the beginning.
That's what they said, and now they're saying, no, it's not funded anymore. So
this is their project that they came
well,
to us and said,
talking
we're going
with,
to do.
In talking with someone else from DOT, they basically, no, know, I'm not going to quote this or say who this was, but basically said that it's a, it doesn't sound very truthful on the part of the engineers. So I'm trying to verify some things. And the problem is that their contract is with MassDOT. It's not with us. This was one of the first years when we got this grant that DOT started doing for the Municipal Small Bridge Program, where phase one to the engineering and design phase that goes all the way through bidding construction could be done by you apply for the grant. MassDOT finds and contracts with an engineering firm and assigns them to you. This was one of the first years they did it. We got assigned this engineering firm. That means that we don't have the scope of work. We don't have the contract with them. We don't have anything other than what they've, the few things that they've emailed us. We don't even have a contract with MassDOT. So it's a really funky situation. And nobody seems to know what to do with it. So.
And is VHB the engineers?
Yes, Vinas. It's their name. Rustlin.
I looked them
up.
Yeah, that's the engineers.
Yeah. Excuse me, Mia. What were they saying? The 10 to 20,000 was just for the engineering.
Was just to have the surveyors come out and create a meets and bounds plan, is what they call it. Rough estimate.
That sounds really high.
So I'm trying to figure out if all of that is truthful.
Can't we just say it's MassDOT is your problem?
No, because, well, yes and no. So that's what I'm trying to do right now, is trying to verify the validity of what VHB is saying with MassDOT. And if it's not true, well, MassDOT has the contract with them, so they theoretically should be able to handle it directly with VHB.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. I want to make sure that whatever's done, I mean, I don't see why we wouldn't have to comply with whatever DOT regulations are out there now. I mean, it's a state route. Yeah, we maintain it, but I don't understand why, just because DOT would fund creating that plan, why there would be any additional requirements that we don't already have to comply with now. I would be actually worried that if we're not complying with those requirements, that that's going to come back to bite us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of outstanding questions as to what the truth is, especially since VHB has changed their position so drastically. We'll see what happens when I hear back from DOT, but for now we're kind of at a standstill. However, I did forward you that thing from council who said that we should definitely go ahead with putting that warrant article, or voting on that warrant article at town meeting, just because it gives us the permission to continue the process.
Right, if everything gets straightened out, but it's not mandating that
no,
we do this.
No, it's not
just
saying we have to.
It's just giving us permission in the event this can move forward.
Right. So it's a big question mark still right now. It's just gotten a lot more question marky in the last couple days.
The bridge here that, what is it, whoever's working on Maximilian, what system did they use? The meets and bounds or
a
the other one?
A meets and bounds plan that
they
has been shown to VHB.
Oh, okay. So they maybe had better landmarks in that position.
They installed new ones.
Okay.
But because it's a state project, we didn't deal with it as much. Not a state. Well, it is kind of not. I don't know who the engineering firm was on that one. But they looked at, I sent them that plan, and they said that that's the difficult process they don't want to go through. But if we had to do it for that, why wouldn't we have to do it for this? I don't know. But we did go through the same process for that, so. With the easements and everything, there's permanent easements. So.
Right, yep, that I definitely remember, and with the information that you sent me, what you sent it to or not, but I can see that there are
temporary easements, permanent easements, it's just easements all over the place on this.
And it has all the little, oh, not the one for this road, but the one that Maxie's working on has all the little, this many degrees this way, this many degrees this way. So you can actually duplicate that. Because, I mean, that's council's worry, is that if something was to happen and somebody was to oppose these easements, no surveyor could go out there and replicate that information on a plan. Thank you.
Yeah, my husband made them.
He did. I went, no, I know he didn't.
It's like the one men's coffee on Friday.
I'm good, thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
Later. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so more to come. We've got to figure this out.
Right. I did confirm that if for some reason this engineer with DOT brings it to Boston, which supposedly he's going to, and they come back and say, you guys do have to find a way to pay for that meets and bounds plan. It's always a possibility, you never know. Even though the first person I talked to did not have that outlook on things. That can be paid for with Chapter 90 funding. I also got the recommendation that, and this will be a bigger discussion that I will put on the agenda, I don't think it's appropriate to discuss it now, but that given the proposed amount over the maximum grant funding that the construction's gonna cost, remember when we talked about it, that VHB had quoted us, it was almost like $1.3 million, and we were gonna have to find a way to make up that extra $3 million. Because the construction can only be funded up to $1 million by DOT. It was recommended that we hold off on one of the roads that we're looking at paving to leave that extra $200,000 to $300,000 in Chapter 90. Because if we can't find another way to pay for that, we're gonna have to be looking at borrowing for that $300,000.
Did we initiate this project? Or did the state come to us and say we're doing this?
We initiated it. We just didn't do anything with it for a year.
Is that road number 9 road? The one that's being worth thinking about holding up on?
Oh, it would probably be somewhere stuff then. Unfortunately. That's not definite. Sorry, just thinking of the emergency evacuation routes, that's the one that's not. So.
So by moving forward with the article, does that, if that passes, does that commit us to this project?
No, we've really already committed ourselves in many other ways.
Oh, okay.
Because this program, they give you the money to do phase one, the engineering or design, kind of with the pretense that you apply as soon as that's done for phase two and do the construction.
So they've already done phase one.
They've already submitted the final plans for this project, Chapter 85 to Mass
Without
DOT.
A meets and bounds.
Without the meets and bounds. I don't get it either.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yep.
I don't understand a lot of this, but I know Robin will. so, okay. This needs...
So I'll go back on the next agenda.
So I can understand it. But so for right now, it's still a waiting game.
Yeah.
We have the article on the warrant.
And I can give you all the stuff I have on it, too.
Oh, so there's more than what you've already sent me?
Yeah, okay. Documentation-wise.
Okay. All right, that's all we needed to do with this meeting, right?
Yeah, I was just like, keep this in mind, especially the Chapter 90 stuff. I got to look more into that.
Okay.
And talk to Tyson, too. I mean, the conversation I just had with that was recommended to me just happened 2 hours ago, so...
Okay.
That's my super fun, happy news for the day.
Okay. All right, Jacob's road sign.
Will, did you talk to Carpenter?
I have not yet, and that is still, I will do that tomorrow.
Because if we do not get billed for it before the end of the fiscal year and the revolving fund article passes, we will likely not be able to pay for it.
The sign is disappeared, I see.
It has.
A couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so does Jason have that sign?
Yes. He's supposed to be getting us back the layout. But I mean, if it's not done for the, well, we could, I think, encumber the funds, but I don't know how that works, because if the revolving funds get dissolved, that goes from the general fund, so I don't know if we can encumber that money.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I'm understanding it is that the project would have to be done, and we'd have to be billed for it prior to the end of the fiscal year, really by the beginning of June.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't gotten that layout yet, so.
All right.
That was literally, I just thought of that. That's why I added that as a thing, because it's time sensitive. Okay.
See them tomorrow.
Perfect.
Early.
Okay. Fall STM?
We have another firefighter over the age of 65.
Really?
I was informed at the pancake breakfast.
Who's that?
I don't remember his name.
He's a coal range.
Here. I guess he's also an assistant chief in Charlemont.
Oh yes, that's Dennis Anir.
Okay.
He's going to be probably coming on as deputy.
Chief, yes.
Deputy chief.
So
yeah.
We will need another waiver. Not that the other two have been approved yet, but I'll need to submit another one.
Okay.
According to Nick. So.
Okay.
The actual formal application and everything's to come, but just to keep in mind as we talk about STMs and stuff.
Okay.
So. If the board was to feel, as we continue discussions, that is worthy of the STM along with the other things we have going on, just to think about it.
Okay, we'll add that to the list. Okay, so we got all those little extra tidbits done, which rolls us into mail. Looking at my sheet here, part one, we had the draft of the annual town meeting warrant and budget notes, which we have dealt with, and the Hilltown Youth Performing Arts lease agreement, which we have dealt with. Part two was about the office assistant job, which we have dealt with, as well as board's clerk. We've dealt with the police cruiser we handled. We talked about the Taylor Brook road bridge. We had an email from a resident who had some concerns about some items on a property being in a disorganized way.
I don't think we have any, I mean, they're not violating a zone.
They're not violating any.
There's no unregistered vehicles.
They have followed up asking if we've done anything about it, and I can happily follow up and say that we cannot.
There's nothing, I think, that we can. I don't think there's any Board of Health concerns.
No, there's maple syrup collection tanks and look like some sort of a, I don't know, looks like a smoker or something, smoking meat. I don't think
right.
We have any.
The concern was that it was unsightly, and was there anything that we can do? And no, there is, as far as my understanding of the situation, there's nothing that we can do about it.
It was a sole point of
people have the right to
put out, this is not the suburbs.
To put things on their property where they want. This letter of support from the Deerfield River Water Association. We need more information about this particular project, and I think we discussed starting a list of questions, and so we can work on that. All right. A letter from Franklin Land Trust about another project, a conservation restriction. I think, where are we on that? I think we still have questions on
that
too.
That was just an FYI so you could review everything.
Mm-hmm.
Liam is coming in before the Board of Health on the 19th, the first meeting after 18.
Oh, so they're going to Board of Health on this?
No, so you know how the Board of Health's coming in for that, our select board meeting, the
uh-huh.
first meeting after? Board of Health's coming at 6:30.
Oh, so that he's coming in at the same
before
time.
That.
Oh, I was
yes.
like, what?
I didn't say that or word it in a good manner.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
well,
so he's coming in at 5:30. I guess it should be quick, but that was just, I put it in there as a reminder to review the information that was attached to that email from him that I forwarded.
Okay, and also I'm meeting with him on Thursday, so.
Right, so you'll get a really good inside explanation.
I will try.
Yeah, because the information that was being provided, I could not confirm on assessor maps here, so I'm a little confused about the acreage and how that moves forward. So we've got that.
Great.
And then just for our information, from Franklin County Solid Waste Management District, the recycling costs, which things are looking good.
I don't really know why those have been put in the mail historically, but I keep putting them in there because I feel like it's nice at the end of the meeting to be able to say, just an FYI.
Right, just FYI. That's all good. That was our mail. We've handled the new business. Next meeting, we will have our Robin back.
Yes.
All will be well.
Yes.
So let's think of things quickly to go on the agenda.
Give yourself credit.
No, it's been good. Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yes.
And everybody's been supportive and probably taking to do 2 days of meeting prep. Get my brain cells working right. Okay, so our next meeting is Tuesday, May 5th. It'll be the last meeting before ATM. So we will be reviewing just who's going to be speaking to what points if necessary. It should be a super light meeting. But we also had a few things that we're going to roll over. We're going to roll over the board's clerk position, mm-hmm. just so we can have initial conversation on that. What else is going to go to that agenda?
The handouts.
Yes, we're going to finish up the handouts. Thank you, Barbara. It takes a village when Robin is not here.
I had it on my list. I just didn't vocalize it.
Yeah, handouts.
Apologies.
Final.
The Culvert Bridge easement.
What?
The 8A easements.
Okay, so we're going to follow up anything new that comes
out. Yeah,
that.
At least update Robin.
Okay.
I mean, I'll probably update her before that.
Right.
No, because she just gets back the day before, so that's probably going to be her update.
Unless she's reading emails, but yep. So let's do that. Let's give her a full update on culverts. She'll be so happy to be back.
You really mean that?
I do.
Can we put the Jacobs Road sign on there?
And yes, I was going to say let's do that because we really need to get this going.
And I will have some information by then.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm hoping he'll show up with something he's planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were supposed to see an idea, a concept.
Right.
But we haven't yet.
Yeah. Great. And I was hoping to meet with you with him, but we might be time crunched and I'm out tomorrow. And so if it doesn't work, you just go.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah.
Okay. What else, Mia? We need to roll.
Do I dare take the chlorine surplus cruiser off?
I mean, at this point, we're waiting to hear back from them.
Yeah. I did send a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd gotten a very lengthy email with lots of questions about something else. So I sent an email and was like, here's all of our action items. We got to follow up on all of these things. And I still haven't heard anything. So I think it's just maybe once their ATM's over.
Okay. Let's hang on to it for now. Mm-hmm.
Cruiser.
Let's keep the community hall on there.
Yep.
Cuz these are quick little
updates.
Tidbits, so they're mm-hmm. not bad. Highway department too. I think all these little quick updates need to stay on here. The HVAC and Tri-Town landfill.
Mm-hmm.
They're all being super duper light and easy.
Right, because we can just say no updates, no updates.
Right. I just don't want to lose sight of them and have them fall away.
Right.
Although I am working on that list that Pat keeps wanting us to work on. I started it today.
Which
just the list of things of what we have in motion and where are we.
Yeah.
And I started one 2 years ago, and I pulled that up today. I was like, oh, thank goodness that's over. Oh, I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe we're dealing with that. That's done.
Did we have everything off of it, or is there still stuff we haven't done?
I didn't have time to review.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's pages and pages of things that have been going on.
That's wonderful. I was wondering, could it be a subpage called whiteboard on the select board page?
That
the spreadsheet.
I have to work out the rest of our sub pages first.
I don't know. That's interesting.
It's good because you have the sensation that something came up and then it died. Mm-hmm. Particularly, the latest thing for me was I thought the sign had died. and now we're finally getting
it. It didn't die in my head. It just died on the agenda.
but
we can't have everything in motion on the agenda. That's not what an agenda is for. Mm-hmm. But, like, right, if we had a whiteboard page on the town page.
Yeah, if anybody wanted to know, oh, that was raised, like, you know, six months ago.
What's the status?
And if it's hold or pending, that's okay.
Right.
But at least you know it's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Vincent Road thing. I'm like, what's up with that? So that would be on there.
Waiting for when's the court date?
What? Vincent, I think that's less of a whiteboarded thing and more of a we're not allowed to talk about it kind of thing.
Right. It's still in action.
It's in litigation.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's all you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's like, oh yeah, whatever happened with that? I don't know.
Still active litigation.
Yeah. But it really would be wonderful to.
I did look at whiteboards. Depending on how we might have a few $100 left in the office expense line at the end of the year, and if we do, maybe we'll get a whiteboard.
A literal whiteboard?
A literal.
I don't know.
I think you need a smart board.
A soft.
Those things that
I don't know where it would go. I don't know. You know.
No, just an Excel spreadsheet called the whiteboard.
Yeah, I started a little whiteboard notebook.
Oh. Nice.
I don't know. I think we might need an actual whiteboard. There's a lot of spreadsheets that are outdated and lost.
But if it's a subpage, it's there.
Mm-hmm. True.
It won't go away unless me hides it.
Yeah.
Won't hide it.
Okay.
I will help in any way.
Thank you, Pat. Oh, webmaster.
Correct.
Okay. Final thoughts from anybody. Okay, then I would entertain a motion.
I will make that motion. So moved.
You didn't make the motion.
Oh. I'll make the motion to adjourn select board meeting of the 28th of April, 2026 at
8:46 p.m.
Oh,
you
really?
It was a little drawn out, but we did it.
No, mine are all gone. I have four.
We can make off-color jokes now.
Second, I'm so sorry. Oh. I thought we were done.
Okay.
I second the motion.
Okay.
Oh, any discussion? No. All those in favor?
Will I?
Alisa, I'm sorry, people.
Well, I blew it too.
I'm so sorry.
I blew it too.